Scott McKay is away this week. Instead, we're joined by WPRI-TV investigative reporter Tim White. Hi there, Tim.
Hi, Ian.
Sheriff Tom Hodgson, you're one of 14 county sheriffs in Massachusetts. In Bristol County, your office has about 900 employees, and you oversee about 1,260 inmates and detainees. Would it be more cost-effective to consolidate these kinds of operations under the Massachusetts Department of Correction?
Well, no, it actually wouldn't, because what we do in the sheriff's office is we actually are responsible for the reentry component. So we get people who are on average 2.5 years or less on their sentence. At the state level, they generally are serving more time, people with more serious crimes, whereby a number of the people we have are as I say, lower level crimes and people that really are in need of focus on their rehabilitation and reentry.
You have a lot of discretion over hiring the 900 people who make up your workforce. How do you respond to critics who call these kinds of operations a big patronage operation?
Well, that's one of the first things I decided wasn't going to happen, because if you make it a patronage sort of operation, you won't have the integrity to be able to do the job and expect your people to meet the standards that the taxpayer expect of you. My operation, I have the lowest cost per inmate in the Commonwealth. I have for almost my entire 20 years. I'm the only sheriff that has a management accountability program that measures 250 operation indicators every day, from meals served, medications given out, fire drills, overtime, and all of that. My managers are accountable to that to make sure that every day they're looking to cut costs and find ways to be more efficient. The 900 includes outside deputies that aren't really full-time employees. We have approximately 650 full-time employees.
Let's go to Tim White.
Sheriff, I want to talk to you about video visitation. WPRI broke the story that you guys were implementing that several months ago. I don't know if it's fully up and running, but the idea, so listeners understand, is visitors coming to your jail, they'll go into a trailer and they can talk to the inmate that they want to see, like through Skype type of technology. They're not going to see the person in the flesh. Bristol County has a higher suicide rate than other sheriff's departments in Massachusetts. Are you concerned the least bit that shifting to video visitation, eliminating that in-person contact, may only make that worse?
Well, we don't actually have, and haven't had, not long after I took over, I stopped contact visits, because I believe that if you're coming to our prison and you have a serious drug problem and you can't get off drugs because people are bringing them in and baiting.
Yeah, but they were separated by plexiglass. So that is
sure.
Even, I think some would argue, at least better contact than looking at a screen and being on a phone, which is what the situation is now.
Well, we have grandparents that live here in Massachusetts who visit with their grandkids on Skype and everything else. The truth of the matter is that it's...
Those kids aren't in jail, though.
No, they're not. But you know what? They're not, because they made a choice not to be. But being 300 yards away from the building you otherwise were going to be in, or being in the building that we have now, you're still talking to the person without being in contact. So the person's made the effort to come there. The other thing it does is it allows for people like moms or dads who maybe are single, have a couple of kids that can't get out in the rain, or a grandmother that can't get there, to travel there, don't have the money, to do it at home.
Well, if they don't have the money, they have to pay for that, don't they? Permanent fees, if they're going to do
it remotely? If they're
going to
do it from home.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's likely going to be a lot less expensive than them hopping on a bus and getting their kids there and whatever else. So it's balancing against the convenience of it. That helps the inmate too, because if they otherwise wouldn't go because of the weather, now they're going to be able to see them when they otherwise wouldn't have.
What kind of strategies does your office use in trying to curb opioid abuse among your population, and what kind of results is that having?
Well, this is a huge epidemic and a big problem. We got the largest opioid grant of any of the sheriff's departments in the Commonwealth just last year. And we did, because we're also... Not only are we dealing with our existing population in new types of medical treatment medications that we're giving them to try to get them off the opioids, we're also doing the pretrial and doing education components to people who are pretrial that haven't even been sentenced yet.
I want to ask you a political question.
Sure.
A through F, Sheriff, what letter grade would you give for the job performance of President Donald Trump?
I'd give him probably A to, was there an A+?
If you want to give an A+,
no, I would say him personally, I would give him a B+ to an A.
How about the governor, Charlie Baker?
I'd give the governor an A.
Okay, so real quick, what's the number one thing with Donald Trump, of you're a supporter of, that you've disagreed with him on? What has he done that you wish he hadn't have done?
Well, there's certain things that he's presented that I think created an unnecessary backlash in the way he may have quipped something. I don't have a problem with his tweets, to be honest with you, but I think at some public events there may have been a time where I sort of bridled on the way he brought something out. I thought maybe the timing was off. But as far as his level of energy, his focus, making people get out of that political web that, you know, draws everybody down and gets nothing done, he's saying, I'm moving forward and I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. And that's what people want to hear.
Is there any possibility that you might get an appointment in the Trump administration?
Well, I've had a couple of appointments. I've gone down there for some meetings, but
I don't mean an appointment for lunch.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that yet, but no, I'm not looking for an appointment. I think that it's important for any administration to maintain the tentacles that they have in the communities across this country so that they do know at the grassroots level what's really going on and what people are really saying so that they can then deal with those problems as opposed to grabbing and losing that important contact.
And I first met you in 1999. At that point, I thought for sure you would run for higher office. You're now in your fourth six-year term as sheriff. Why have you not run for higher office?
You know, it's funny. I've been asked a couple of times to run for Congress and some other offices, but I love the job I have. I think the sheriff's job, I got in this job to help people. There isn't a job where I can do more and see the impact more quickly than I can in the office of sheriff. I do work with the Azorian government and have for 20 years on immigration issues, helping them to integrate the deportees. I do work in Washington. I do work with the Senate, work with the administration. And then at the local level, you can create programs and watch it to see how successful are they and grow them. I'm really looking forward to this term. We have a real focus on getting kids before they ever come through the front door of our prison, and we're working very diligently on having this, what we think is going to be a kind of a cutting-edge program.
Back to law and order, and maybe you're touching on it here. Rhode Island federal court now, not state courts, has a unique deferment program aimed at getting young first-time offenders facing drug charges on the right path by dangling the carrot of avoiding prison time. And then they go into the, sort of this monitoring program with the courts and with the prosecutor's office, so on and so forth. That's in federal court. Would you support a system like that in Massachusetts, in the state or in your county, that would avoid first-time drug offenders prison time in order to try and get them on the right path? Or are you it's all jail or nothing?
I believe that if you're first time into this, that the judge should have the opportunity. And I used to run the Community Corrections Center in Bristol County. So my staff staffed it so that the judge had an alternative. If he didn't think you should go to jail, but he also didn't think you should go on the street and you should have some accountability to deal with, either get your GED, deal with drug testing, substance abuse, going to community meetings, you would come to our OCC center. That is exactly what we should be doing. They stopped that with the sheriffs and they put it into parole and they haven't had... They've been operating at 50% capacity. I'm all for that.
You want it back?
I do want it back. And I want also, if I may, very quickly, the thing that this country has got to do is shift its policy to getting to the kids in third and fourth grade so that we don't have to keep reacting and looking for these programs after people are already established into these behaviors. That's the failure of America as far as I'm concerned when it comes to cutting recidivism and keeping kids on the right track before they ever go down that road and get those bad habits.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us from WPRI-TV, investigative reporter Tim White.
Thank you, Ian.
And the sheriff of Bristol County, Massachusetts, Thomas Hodgson.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.